Namah Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vasatya Deshatarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare Panchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyaiva cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 17, Text 13. So how do we do these long verses? Just read the verse myself? Yeah. Yatraha deva pataya svai svair gana nayakair vihita maharhanaha sarvartu kusuma stabaka palakisalaya shriya namyamana vitapa lata vita pibir upashumbamana ruchira kananashramaya tana varsha Giri dronishu tata chamala jalashayeshu vikacha vivida nava vanaruhamoda mudita raja hamsa jala kukuta karanadava karandava sarasa chakravakadbir madukara nikara kritibir upakujiteshu jala kridadibir Vichitra vinodaihi salulita sura sundarinam kama kalila vilasa hasa lilavaloka krishtamano drishtaya svairam viharanti Translation. In each of these tracts of land there are many gardens filled with flowers and fruits according to the season. And there are beautifully decorated hermitages as well. Between the great mountains demarcating the borders of those lands lie enormous lakes of clear water filled with newly grown lotus flowers. Aquatic birds such as swans, ducks, water chickens, and cranes become greatly excited by the fragrance of lotus flowers. And the charming sound of bumblebees fills the air. The inhabitants of those lands are important leaders among the demigods. Always attended by their respective servants, they enjoy life in gardens alongside the lakes. In this pleasing situation, the wives of the demigods smile playfully at their husbands and look upon them with lusty desires. All the demigods and their wives are constantly supplied with sandalwood pulp and flower garlands by their servants. In this way, all the residents of the eight heavenly varshas enjoy, attracted by the activities of the opposite sex. Purport. Here is a description of the lower heavenly planets. The inhabitants of those planets enjoy life in a pleasing atmosphere of clear lakes filled with newly grown lotus flowers and gardens filled with fruits, flowers, various kinds of birds and humming bees. In that atmosphere they enjoy life with their very beautiful wives who are always sexually stimulated. Nonetheless, they are all devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as will be explained in the subsequent verses. The inhabitants of this earth also desire such heavenly enjoyment, but when they somehow or other achieve imitation pleasures like sex and intoxication, they completely forget the service of the Supreme Lord. In the heavenly planets, however, although the residents enjoy superior sense gratification, they never forget their positions as eternal servants of the Supreme Being. So this may sound very attractive to some devotees, that you are Krishna conscious but you enjoy. Now I have made a case, looked at Srila Prabhupada's teachings, and some time ago I published a blog called What Can Replace Sex. So from that blog I will share. In other places Srila Prabhupada is giving various examples, like water and fire cannot go together. If you pour water on the fire, then it gets extinguished. So, these two things, actually, although here is described that they go together, but if we look at Srila Prabhupada's, if all Srila Prabhupada's teachings, basically he's discouraging. If you just take this verse, isolate it, and the purport, you may think, well, this sounds very nice. You can have both things. But in all of other his teachings, and as we will see from these comments, from these passages from Srila Prabhupada's teachings, from the books, from the lectures and the letters, that he's saying something else. So there is this I think it's a Bengali proverb, Arda Kukuti Nyaya, the logic of a headless hen. Because the head of a chicken is eating, you cut it off because it's spending. But you keep the back because through the back the eggs are coming. So So people take something from the scriptures and they say, oh, this is very nice, and I can, you know, use it, and I can say that I'm following the scripture. But this is cheating. This is not honest. Take one thing and forget about the other things. So this verse is tempting people to take it and say, now this is my life manifesto. This is what I want. I don't want to be just a gross materialist, but I want to enjoy. Still, there is these desires. And one can justify his activities that will actually keep him conditioned in the material world. Will not help. So let's look at these quotes. One is from yesterday, from the yesterday's purports. Yesterday purport, purport to the 12th verse of this chapter. In the spiritual world, people are not very attracted to sex life due to their exalted devotional attitude. Practically speaking, there is no sex life in the spiritual world. But even if sometimes it does occur, there is no pregnancy at all. Now, next one is from the lecture. Srimad Bhagavatam, Honolulu, in 1976. Srimad Bhagavatam 6.133. So the point is that here the sex life is the highest pleasure, and in the spiritual world there is no sex. So what is that pleasure? That pleasure is this chanting and dancing, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. That is stated in the Shastra. They are so much absorbed in this chanting and dancing that they are no more interested in sex. That is the only way. If you want to stop the pleasure of sex, then you have to take this pleasure, this transcendental pleasure. You'll forget everything. Now, the next one is from the same lecture. Unless we advance in Krishna consciousness, unless we become accustomed to enjoy this ecstasy of chanting and dancing, it is not possible. So it is not possible to forget about sex, to become detached. There is few points from the letter to Uddhava in 1969, 3-4 points. In God's creation, there is male and female, even in the Srila Prabhupada, even in the spiritual world, and there is purpose for such creation. This purpose is so that male and female may join together, not for sex life, but to glorify the Lord. So, in the spiritual world, there is couples, there is families, and there is married couples, but their focus is not to please each other or to enjoy independently. The purpose of their family life is to serve the Lord and to glorify the Lord. From Srimad Bhagavatam we learn that in Vaikuntha the women are much more beautiful in their figure, smiling, dressing, etc. But the men and women there are so much attracted by the chanting of Hare Krishna that they do not get any sex impulse even by intimate mingling. In spiritual life also there are men and women. They are very beautiful and attractive, but they are all so much absorbed in thought of Krishna that in the spiritual world there is no sex life. That means that Krishna consciousness is so sublime and happy that it surpasses the pleasure of sex life. This last one was letter to James Doody in 69. And the last quote is also letter to Uddhava. Here also, sometimes we get very good example, because when our nice boys and girls are dancing together and chanting Hare Krishna, at least for that time, they forget all about the sex impulse. This is perfection of life, to be so much attracted to Krishna that all insignificant pleasures are utterly forgotten. Now, one advantage of studying everything Prabhupada said about a certain topic is that we get a complete picture. And devotees have a tendency to quote Srila Prabhupada, including myself, and they say, Prabhupada said. And then you look and say, wow, Prabhupada said this. This is amazing. But then, Prabhupada said something else too. And he said something else and something else. So if you get all the quotes and study the circumstances where the instruction has been given, then you get a complete picture. Then you can honestly conclude what is right. But if you take one thing and use it to support what suits you, to support your own idea or some kind of sense gratification, this is not fair. This is not honest. This is cheating. This is Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, the logic of a headless hen. I take what I like and I reject the rest. We all know the verse that Srila Prabhupada quoted many times. Yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padara vinde nava nava rasa damani jatam rantum asit tadavadi batanari sangama smaryamane bhavati mukavi karam shushtu nishtivanam cha. I don't know if you know about that, but Srila Prabhupada became so excited about this verse once, because this verse speaks about spitting, and he had a cup near him and he spat in the class when he was quoting that verse. He said, it's disgusting. The sex life is disgusting. Now, in our movement, there is discussions about the 4 eggs, especially about the 1 reg, that is very questionable. Okay, 3 regs are quite clear, although this is sometimes a little bit foggy, but some of them. Maybe the one that is most clear is no gambling. These other ones, people sometimes kind of, maybe also no meat eating. But intoxication and no intoxication and no illicit sex, this is being discussed. But when we study Srila Prabhupada's teachings very closely and look at all the statements and all the quotes, then it becomes very clear what is the standard. So, you know, people, they say, well, what does it mean, no illicit sex? And then there is discussion. In my opinion, I think it means this. And the other one says, I think it means that. And some devotees are more on the side of strictness and some on the side of leniency or so-called flexibility. So, what happens in our movement is that devotees get initiated and then they go to a guru, like for example a couple, and then they say, sorry, we can't follow. So this is not honest. If you can't follow, then better say it before you get initiated. Why put burden on the guru that, you know, well, I wanted to have a name, I wanted to have a spiritual name, and I wanted to be recognized, or I want a connection with the parampara, or, and I was working hard following for 1 year to qualify. But then, what can guru say? Do what you can, or reduce it, or, you know, gradually try to become detached, and like that. So better take some time before you take initiation, but follow properly. So this standard is not given to kill us. It's given to purify us. Srila Prabhupada gave this standard to help us. And there is so many stories. I mean, Lord Chaitanya was so strict with Haridas Jr. Just to show how serious this is. How serious this is. And there are so many places where Srila Prabhupada explains how we should see the members of the opposite sex. He says, we should see every woman as a mother except your wife. Then he said we should see them as gopis. So if you see ladies as gopis or as mothers, you can't think of them as a sense object in this illicit way. So instructions are there, they are very clear. So for us, what is the most important thing is to develop a higher taste, paramdrishtva nivartate. Then this will become insignificant. People speak about, you know, can you show me a miracle? One journalist asked Srila Prabhupada, Swamiji, can you create some golden dust or do some miracle like this? Simple people, they need miracles in order to believe, in order to have faith. You do some magic and then say, wow, you must be a spiritual person. But actually, what Srila Prabhupada replied when they asked him, Swamiji, can you do some magic? He said, yes, I can stay in the room with 20 naked women and not be disturbed. This is magic. Who can do that? So this kind of discussion, nobody is daring to have except Srila Prabhupada. This is bold discussion. This is bold proposal. So we have examples in the scriptures of Vishwamitra Muni being agitated, Saubari Muni being agitated, even he was under the water, then Vishwamitra Muni was agitated just by the sound of this angel? Angel bells. Yeah. And then there is Haridas Thakur who cheated the prostitute, and also he resisted Maya's temptation and passed the test. Two times he was tested like this. And he said, yes, yes. And then he actually did this magic. So this is the greatest magic. You are offered free sense gratification. You are offered praise. What can a man want more than the woman glorifying you and offering you enjoyment? This is the highest enjoyment that a male person can get. And he said, yes, yes. Just wait a little bit. So this is the highest magic that exists in all the universes. The woman comes to you and you say, just wait a little bit. Men think usually, I can't wait. They don't say, just wait. They say, I can't wait for a beautiful woman to appear so that I can enjoy her or something. But he said, wait. And then when she was apologizing, he said, oh my goodness, what have I done? Please forgive me. And he said, I knew it all the way, and I stayed here. I was supposed to go. I stayed here just to deliver you. Because he doesn't see her as a body. He doesn't see her as a body. He sees her as a soul who is entangled, who is actually suffering. Sometimes we have a realization that maybe sometimes you have a realization how some devotee is suffering and you feel pain that they are just Now they have to get deeper into spiritual life. It's just all on the surface. They are licking the bottle of the honey. And it's difficult. And something, you can feel their pain. It doesn't have to be necessarily a physical pain. And then you speak and you say, so what's bothering you? What's the problem? I don't know. I mean, my mind gives me trouble, and I don't know what I want. I want everything. I want nothing. I'm so confused. I'm afraid to desire anything, but still I desire something, and I'm afraid to admit it. And so much confusion. So people need a push. People need leadership. And this is what we can provide. Imagine Srila Prabhupada convinced us to follow the four eggs. That's crazy. In this world, people sometimes say, if you don't do these four things, so what do you do? So, and now the more we convince others to give up this crazy idea of being an enjoyer or being the primary enjoyer, the more we become convinced. But if we are not convinced ourselves, we are somewhere in between, then we will not be able to help others to give up the poison of sense gratification, of illicit sense gratification. And Prabhupada never said no sex. Prabhupada never said no enjoyment. He said no illicit sex, no illicit enjoyment. So basically Krishna is saying, do it my way. Don't do it your way. Frank Sinatra is saying, I did it my way. And Sid Vicious, he did a remix, the punk singer, I did it my way, like a parody. But we want to do it Krishna's way, as Nirantara Prabhu made a song, I did it Krishna's way. So whatever you want to do, do it Krishna's way. Align yourself with Krishna, with Krishna's instructions. But in order to align yourself with Krishna's instructions, you have to know Krishna's instructions. That's why we have to study the book, study everything. Study all the teachings, and that's why Vedabase and Vanipedia are nice. You can, you know, get a whole picture. You can, it's at your fingertips. You can find and you can explore, and you can get enlightened about what is right and how to act, and how to please Krishna. Even if you have desires, like Dhruva Maharaj had material desire, but then he followed Narada Muni's instructions, and then he attained perfection. And he realized that what he wanted wouldn't give him happiness, wouldn't give him pleasure. I wrote another blog called Make the Sex Your Ex. And this was dedicated to one person who is actually related to another person who is very famous in England. And these people from the entertainment world, they are great enjoyers. To convince them to give up enjoyment, it's harder than to convince the ordinary person who is anyway suffering, and they're not famous, and they don't have enjoyment, and they don't have money. So, you know, you tell them, you're not enjoying anyway, you might as well join the Hare Krishna movement. But these great enjoyers, if you try to enjoy them to give up sense gratification, it's so hard. So I said that you may have sex with hundreds of people, but it will not fill your heart with joy. You will feel empty. And you will lit another cigarette, and the time is passing, and the death is coming, and the gems of life are slipping through your fingers, you're missing the best. You're missing the best. So how can we convince people to give up sense gratification and to develop a higher taste when we are not convinced, when we don't have it? It will be impossible. Sometimes devotees preach to people, distribute books or something, and then say, "Are you happy?" And the devotee doesn't look happy, even look happy. Sometimes we smile, we put on this artificial smile, because for preaching we have to be happy. But then they say, "But are you happy?" And they say, "But you don't look like you're happy." So the best preaching is a happy devotee. And now this December, the Srila Prabhupada Marathon starts, and devotees who are happy and who look happy, or both, they can actually convince people. They can say, "These books made me happy. Why don't you take them? I want to share with you. These books made me happy." Now, how to develop that higher taste? Well, we know, chanting, dancing, hearing, chanting, dancing, but also there is another secret to how to develop a higher taste and become very happy. And that's described in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter. Nachatasman manushyeshu kashin me priyakritama. This is an open secret. Krishna says, one who preaches this message to devotees, there is no one more dear to me, and there will be never anyone more dear than that person. So, if one wants to get connected to Krishna's internal pleasure potency, Hladini Shakti, very quickly, then he should preach. Now, devotees are humble, and I work with hundreds of devotees in one-to-one or with groups, and one of the top excuses that devotees have in our movement is, "I'm not qualified. I'm not qualified to preach, I'm not qualified to lead, I'm not qualified to guide. Who am I to tell anyone anything?" But this is technically called an excuse. It's a very sophisticated excuse. It's a seemingly Krishna conscious excuse. Srila Prabhupada threw his disciples into responsibility before they were qualified. He gave them responsibilities before they were qualified. If you go to my Facebook, you will see one slide. I have an album in my photos called Coaching Slides, and there is 185 pictures which are all motivational and inspirational. There is one called aquarium, and when you put a fish into a bigger one, then it grows, but then it outgrows it, then you have to get a bigger one. So Srila Prabhupada gave a responsibility. And I remember when I joined, they gave me responsibility after 2 years. I mean, you become a spiritual leader after 2 years. Just 2 years ago, you were a pure animal. Now you're a spiritual leader. You have a title. You have some power of decision. You have Krishna's money in your hands. But Krishna and his representatives are taking this risk. And they give us the opportunity to get purified by taking responsibility in the mission. So, if we take responsibility, we will not have time to think of illicit enjoyment, because we will have so many responsibilities and headaches that we will always think about the mission and how to arrange things for Krishna or for devotees. Now, you may say, "Well, you see, Akrura, my desires are not so gross. I need some emotional support." Emotional support. I need to feel some love, and I want to love people and to be loved, and that's okay. So if we love Krishna's devotees, then we will be also emotionally satisfied. If we care for devotees, we will be emotionally satisfied. We will be satisfied so much that we will not have these gross urges for illicit activities. It's very satisfying. Six loving exchanges between devotees are very satisfying. And you feel satisfied in your heart, and it's easier to control lust. When you are in the fire of preaching, there are benefits that you have to be a good example, very good example. So from that sense, you have to shape up. From that side, you have to shape up. And also, you feel a taste. So you don't have that need for illicit activities. Mm. But it's very hard to take responsibility. And we are afraid. If I take responsibility, people will look up to me, and I have to be a leader, and I have to be a good example, and I always have to be up to the mark. And you know, it's better to hide and occasionally do something nonsense, do some illicit activity like that. But this will not help us, because now we know the truth. We know what is the truth, and we know that we are not going to make it. Even advertisements are convincing, still trying to convince us that you can make it, try to enjoy, but we are not going to make it. We tried for many millions of lifetimes to enjoy illicit activities and sinful activities, and it didn't work. We always burn our fingers. Not only fingers, we burn our complete body with this thing. We burn completely, burn in hell. And now we know we are not going to make it, so it's better to stop trying. Whatever, even if it's regulated, or it just it won't work. It won't give joy to your heart. It will not give joy to our heart. It's better to consciously work and develop that higher taste. Rupa Goswami says, please give me millions of ears, please give me millions of tongues, so I can taste more. This is what we should pray for. And marathon time is also an opportunity to go out and be a representative of Krishna, and try to convince others, and also convince ourselves. By convincing others, we convince ourselves also, and we become convinced, and our faith grows. Thank you very much for listening. Are there any questions? Yes. That's an excellent question. It's an excellent question. How to understand what is right, especially if the statements are contradictory? So there is a famous principle of Desha Kala Patra, time, place, and circumstances, and also a person. Patra sometimes refers also time, place, and the person involved. So we have to use our discrimination, what is favorable for Krishna consciousness in a certain situation. It is said, one man's food is other man's poison. So there are basic principles that we should follow, but sometimes some things don't apply to certain situations. Like, for example, we say we should preach and glorify the Lord, In some countries, if you say that the Lord has feet, they will kill you. So it's not intelligent to actually preach enthusiastically that the Lord has lotus feet. Even if you say only feet, they can kill you. But if you say lotus feet, they will kill you twice. So now, what to do? I think we have to be honest. Because there is two ways you can go. You can use the quotes to justify your cheating and sense gratification, and you can use the quotes to progress gradually, to help yourself to progress and say, you see, Prabhupada also said this. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, in the middle of the 12th chapter, it says, if you cannot do this, do that. If you cannot do this, do that. If you cannot do this, do that. There is always hope for everybody. And you may say, well, Prabhupada said, Krishna said, if you cannot do this, do that. That's what I'm doing. It's okay. But now, what about the next level? What about the next step? So, if we closely look at Prabhupada's instructions, they're not contradictory. They're just time, place, circumstance. I don't think they're contradictory. We can meet later if you want. You can come in the BLS and you can show me where you have done a research and you have found contradictory statements, and we can discuss them, try to discuss reasonably. You know, what is Prabhupada saying here? What makes sense? What is he trying to teach us, and how to guide us out of the ignorance that we are in? We can discuss. But it requires honesty. And, you know, the Paramatma is in your heart. And if we are honest, we will say, well, this sounds like this is Krishna conscious. And this is what is the purpose and the essence of this instruction. Last night I was listening, Prabhupada said, very gently. Prabhupada was speaking how when you chastise a disciple who is senior, he breaks. So if somebody is senior, if you chastise him, he breaks. So he's saying, you know, some of you are now senior, and I don't want to disturb you, I don't want to chastise you. But he said that devotees started growing hair. And he said, please get your hair cut at least once a month, you know. And he was very humbly trying to make that point, and he was explaining about this thing, about chastisement. Because it is said in the scriptures that you know, the son should be chastised, the disciple should be chastised. It's related to the not believing the mind, not letting the mind, always being strict with the mind. In the fifth canto also, in the previous chapters, there is this discussion. So he was saying that please don't become hippies again, like that. And then there is a statement regarding hair, that it doesn't matter, you know, how you look like and what is your hairstyle, just change your consciousness. Isn't it? Just chant Hare Krishna, read Prabhupada's books, be Krishna conscious, think of Krishna. It doesn't matter if somebody comes with a long hair, we say, it doesn't matter. He said, do I have to cut my hair? No, just chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam. And then you come to Prithu Prabhu. He likes to shave people. And he says, no, you have to, you're in Maya. And he said, you should immediately shave. I will shave you. Oh, really? Okay. It used to be before, I remember. I just wanted to find some example of shaving. So you understand. So time, place, circumstances, and then it's not contradictory. But we should study all the instructions and then get the whole picture. And then see what is the best thing for the. I'm interested in Vanipedia because I want to use it more for coaching people, and find the best things for them, for each and every devotee. That's so exciting! You have no idea. This is so exciting. You find exactly what they need, not in order to avoid surrender, but in order to surrender voluntarily. Prabhupada's guidance directly. So if you have it like this at your fingertips, you have a wonderful picture, and you feel shelter. Okay. Practical instructions? There is philosophical contradictions. You have to show me. Maybe you can make a book, contradictions, and then bring up everything. Or seeming contradictions, and then show how it's not. Yeah. There is a verse in the Bhagavatam which says exactly that. All contradictions get resolved in Krishna. So one who is Krishna conscious, for him there is no contradiction. But bring something and we can discuss it. Or we can have a forum, devotees who are interested can join that discussion. Okay, one more question and we can finish. Yes? Yes. Chanting Hare Krishna and preaching. Preaching is powerful because when you preach, you have to be a good example. When you chant, you can do whatever you like and chant. When you preach, people expect you to be a good example. And it's like a double responsibility. And also the taste. When you preach, the taste. Of course, if you chant properly, then you have a very high taste. When you preach also, and when you distribute books, you can immediately feel this taste. It's very powerful. So, my recommendation to devotees that everyone should preach in any way you can. 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 Anywhere, at any time, because it's so nice. It saved me. Apart from prasadam, it really, really saved me. It forces you. It forces you to shape up, at least to a high degree. Okay, thank you. Srila Prabhupada ki.